introduction. I don't know about an amazing speaker, but I'm a pretty amazing guy. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. So glad to be with you all this morning. So I don't have much time. I don't want to take too much of your time because I know there's two services and I want to be timely. But I'm really glad to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, Scott, for having me. I appreciate you. That is my, he didn't mention this, but he is my church planting coach. And he's been coaching me. Yes. Give it up for your pastor. Amazing. Who does it all, by the way. He not only preaches, but he leads worship. So that is, that's pretty, you're a multi-talented man. Praise God. He can't play basketball, but he can lead worship. Yes. For those of you who may not know, last night we did play basketball in his yard, and I beat him. And just to give you, a little recap, I was down 0-7, I believe, and I came back and won the game. So I don't want to brag, but I beat your pastor. Anyway, no, but seriously, Scott, yeah, God bless you. I got to spend time with him and his family, and you can tell a lot by a man by spending time with his family, you really can. And his family is just amazing. We had an incredible time last night. I had such a good time playing basketball with them, and I beat all of them. We at the dinner table, it was just really fun. Honestly, I had a good time, and just the way your kids love each other says a lot about you and Hannah. And man, you guys are amazing people. So God bless you. Thank you for inviting me to your home and letting me crash last night too. Thank you for that. So God bless you. You guys have an amazing pastor, right? Can you guys put your hands together? So like he mentioned, I am a church planter as well, pastor of Harbor Church LA, and I brought my friend here, Yab, who is our production team leader. He's a great guy, yes. And I love your church. I love Covenant. I was very, 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 I felt so at home here when I came in. And I want to, where's Nancy? Nancy, she came in and she gave us breakfast. She prepared all this stuff for us. It was just awesome. So thank you, Nancy, and God bless you. Seriously. With that being said, I'm really excited to be here. A little bit about me. I am not 12 years old. Guarantee you, I'm only 16. But no, I'm not. I just turned 31, and I just had a baby girl with my wife. We have a picture up there. Yeah. She is the cutest baby you'll ever meet. She's a little bit older now. That was an old picture, but I think I have another picture. Do I have another picture? I don't know. A little older one. Yeah, that was Easter Sunday, I think. So that's my wife, my beautiful wife, and my daughter, Naraya and Ray. It's been quite a journey. For those of you who have kids, it is very challenging, but a very joyful time in our house, and it's very loud and a lot of drool everywhere, and it's just been great. So a lot of toys too. But I'm excited. So I'm excited to preach. If you guys have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 24. I see that you guys are in a book of Acts or studying the book of Acts, which is crazy because we as a church are actually studying. We're going to start studying the book of Acts next week. I copy everything Scott does. So that's what we're doing. But I'm glad to be able to do this with you all. And so Acts chapter 24, are you all excited to hear God's word? Good. Awesome. Okay, praise God. So anybody going to be here for the second service? Like, I'm going to repeat everything I say, so I just want to make sure you don't judge me. But anyways, all the jokes are going to be the same too. It's going to be crazy. But anyway, Acts chapter 24. So you have probably, and Scott is like a crazy theologian, loves history, church history, and things like that. So you probably get a ton of information that you probably already know. But Paul, the last few chapters are, it's a journey of Paul and his missionary, right? He's a missionary. And what happens in Acts chapter 24 is Paul is on his third mission trip, right? And he goes to Jerusalem to report on his third mission trip to the Jerusalem church. And he's reporting all the things that God is doing in his ministry. And He's just, you know, everyone's praising God. There's just an amazing time in Jerusalem. But Paul, being the man that he is, his presence stirs up a lot of commotion everywhere he goes because he's a cool guy. I don't know, you know. And so he is, what we'll see and read later, is that he's a troublemaker, apparently. And so he stirs up commotions, and not himself, but his presence alone. He doesn't do anything, but his presence alone stirs up a lot of commotion. So because of that, the Jews persuaded the Romans, which, you know, obviously the Roman occupied Jerusalem and that area. So they persuaded the Roman guards to arrest Paul and accuse him of all these different things. And then as they were arresting him, there was a plot to kill Paul, which, by the way, if you've read in Acts, if you've studied, you know that there's always a plot to kill Paul, right? And so this plot was uncovered by the Romans that they were going to kill Paul. So they ended up securing him and taking him on the 60-mile journey to Caesarea, which is the center of Roman government, right? It's like where all the judicial stuff goes on. And that's where we are in Acts chapter 24. We pick up in Caesarea, where the high priest, the lawyers, and the religious leaders traveled nearly 60 miles to this city just to lay on these false accusations on Paul, right? On foot, by the way, right? I mean, these are not, they don't have Teslas or cars or anything. They were on, they rode horses or donkeys, whatever it is, 60 miles just to accuse someone falsely, right? I mean, you could just tell the hate that they had for this man. And so, anyways, they went to the Caesarea, which was the center of Roman government. And this is the accusation that they bring against Paul. We can read some of this. I don't want to read everything, but we can read some of this. And let's see. Let's start with verse 5. Okay, verse 5 in Acts chapter 24. It says, "We have found this man to be a troublemaker." Anybody here a troublemaker? Right? Yeah, come on. So, for Jesus. Anybody here a troublemaker for Jesus? Anybody a troublemaker not for Jesus? All right? No, I'm just kidding. All right, so he's a troublemaker. He stirred up riots among the Jews all over the world. Right? What a influential man Paul is. He is a ringleader of a Nazarene sect and even tried to desecrate the temple. So we seized him. And by examining him yourself, you will be able to learn truth about all these charges that are being brought against him. So what we see here is Paul is being accused of three things. All right, and these are three really important, like big things. These are not just like light accusations. These are very major accusations. The first one, he starts riots. He starts riots. He starts all this commotion all over. And the Romans hated that. The Romans hated revolutions. They hated riots because it disturbed the society, right? And so this is very legal in the Roman Empire. And so this is a big, big accusation. That's the first one. Second one, he's a ringleader of a cult, right? That's what they're saying. He's the ringleader of this Nazarene cult. And in Rome, that was illegal to be the only governed or the only government-approved religion. Other than the Roman religion is Judaism, right? And so if it was any other religion, it was illegal, essentially. So that was that. And then number three, he tried to desecrate the temple. That's another huge accusation because, again, the Romans and the Jews had become a sort of an agreement. And so them desecrating the temple was another illegal act. So these religious leaders that accused them, their biggest hope was that he would get executed. I mean, that's their hope. They were trying to get this guy. They couldn't kill him personally. So they were like, if we could just accuse him, they were trying to get him the death sentence, right? This is like the Texas of Rome, right? This is what they were trying to do, okay? I'm from Texas. Don't worry. I'm not. If you're from Texas, don't get offended. I'm from Texas, too. I'm from Dallas, okay? So go Cowboys. Hey, there you go. There it is. Fort Worth? Oh, there you go. Look at that. Valerie, right? Valerie in Fort Worth. There you go. So they were trying to get him executed, and then Felix gave him the opportunity to kind of defend himself. Okay, he wanted to defend himself. So this is what it says in verse 10. When the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, "I know that for a number of years you have been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defense." Okay, you can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago, I went up to Jerusalem to worship. Okay, my accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogue or anywhere else in the city. And they cannot prove to you that the charges they are now making against me at all. So there, he says, where's the evidence? Show me the evidence, right? There's no evidence that they're bringing me against me. He says, but I love this part. However, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors. I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way, which they call a cult. I believe everything that is in accordance with the law. And I think this is, man, this is important. I want to stop there. How many of you are ever in grave danger, would take that opportunity to share the message of Jesus, right? I mean, Paul was in grave danger. He was looking at execution. He was getting accused about all these different things. I don't know about you. I hate being accused, especially falsely accused, right? And if someone is falsely accusing me, I'm not going to lie. I get triggered and I can become maybe angry. I don't know. But Paul, for some reason, through the Holy Spirit, did not get angry, stayed calm, stayed cool and collected, right? And he was able to use this opportunity as a way to share the message of Jesus to those who were present. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of him being accused falsely, in the midst of people coming against his character, coming against who he is, he says, you know what? I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you about who my life is, that I admit that I worship the God of the ancestors. Right? And then he says, I believe everything that is in accordance with the law that is written in the prophets. And I have the same hope in God as these men themselves have, that there will be resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and men. And the reason why he said that latter part of what I just read is because he's trying to let them know that, yo, I am not starting a new religion, right? I actually believe the same gods these Pharisees do. All I'm saying is just, I believe in Christ. I believe that Christ fulfilled everything that they're talking about, right? That's all he's saying. And so he's trying to tell them that this is not a new religion. This is just something that, this is a new way of life, essentially, right? And so Paul, essentially what he did is he broke apart their accusation one by one. And then he goes on to say this, verse 17, after an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. So he said, I'm helping the homeless. I came to Jerusalem to help people. I came to Jerusalem to serve people. I'm actually making the economy better. I'm making society better by doing all these things. So he's kind of breaking apart all their accusations one by one. And he admitted to be part of this cult, but he obviously said that Christianity is part of the Judaism and all that. So anyway, so as he's defending himself, the most important part that I really want us to really catch in this passage is that he used this opportunity to share Christ and share the message of Christ. And I don't know about you, but whatever circumstances that we see Paul in, he is always, always sharing the message of Christ. Under any circumstances, he's in prison, he's sharing the message of Christ, right? He's in danger, he's literally getting stoned, he's about to get stoned, he's sharing the message of Christ. Under every and any circumstances, he is always representing the heart of God and the character of God, right? And man, it is so cool. When you study Paul's life, it is very clear that his life is rooted in Christ. Because when your life is rooted in Christ, you begin to bear fruit of that resembles that what you're rooted in, right? Your life represents or reflects the place that you're planted in. The way that you think, the way that you talk, the way that you respond to accusations, the way that you respond to dangerous circumstances, the way that you respond to opposition, to adversity, right? Adversity is a reflection of where you are planted. And Paul clearly was planted in Christ. some of us, the way that we respond to accusations, some of us, the way that we respond to dangerous situations, the way that we respond to opposition, is a reflection of where our heart is planted. And it reflects as if our heart is planted in anger or guilt or shame, because that's how we respond. Does that make sense? So how you respond is a reflection of where you are planted. How you respond to things in life is a reflection of where your heart is planted. And so Paul begins to defend himself. He defended himself pretty well, right? So well that they couldn't find any charges against him. So towards the end of the chapter, we see Felix, who was the governor presiding over this trial, being, by the way, he's a corrupt governor. Everybody in Rome is very corrupt. Being the corrupt governor that he is, he actually ended up delaying Paul's trial for 2 years. For 2 years. For a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is so that he was hoping to get a bribe out of Paul. Right? He was hoping that Paul would bribe him. But the other reason was Felix was very curious about this guy named Paul. He was curious about the message that he had. He was very curious. And here's what I've noticed. You know what? I want to read. Let's read, because I think it's important to read. So it says this. Let me see. Then for verse 22. Check out verse 22 in Acts chapter 22. Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, right, with the way that you've read in Acts, so the Christians, the followers of Christ, were called the way because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So he was acquainted with the way, adjourned with the proceedings, and when Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, "I will declare your case." He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Okay, so obviously he had a lot of favor. And so towards the end, again, Paul is in prison. And that's really what I want to preach on. I want to preach on the last two verses that we have here together. So can we quickly read the last two verses, and then we're going to pray, and then I'll finish my message. So. Several days later, verse 24, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ Jesus. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, "That's enough. You may leave now. When I find it convenient, I will send for you." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent for him frequently and talked to him. When the 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Festus, but because Felix wanted to grant favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison. So let's pray. Let's ask God, come before God. Lord, we thank you. We just come before you right now, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity to share your word with your people, and I just pray that you can use me as an empty vessel. May the Holy Spirit... May the Holy Spirit fill me, fill us, Lord God, and I just pray that you are able to let this word land on good soil into the hearts of those who are listening, and may it produce fruit in those who are receiving this word. And so we love you, we honor you, in Jesus' mighty name, and everybody says, amen, amen. So if you're looking for a title or for the message, which that's really cool, by the way, I saw you guys do a little pamphlet. I'm going to steal that idea too, if you don't mind. Yeah, you can take notes. If you're looking for a title, my message is called "A Heart Transformed." Okay, so here's when I read that passage. When he asked me to share this passage, I read Acts chapter 24, and I never noticed this part of this chapter. But I love this chapter. I mean, this part. It says this. As Paul talked about verse 25. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid. Why was Felix afraid as Paul was talking and sharing about gospel? Before we even get to that, how cool is it that Felix was so curious about what Paul had to say? Right? How cool is that? I mean, and I don't know about you, but if Paul Paul was being accused in court, if he had responded in an angry way, if he responded in a way that did not reflect the character of God and the virtue of God, if he responded in a way that I would have responded, right? I don't think Felix would be curious about what Paul had to say, right? Like, I don't think he would be curious about what he said, because he's like, okay, clearly this guy is unstable. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about anything he says, But Paul was collective. He's calm. He refuted the accusations in a way that was, again, full of character and virtue and things like that, reflected God's way. And so this gave a lot of opportunities for people to see the character of God in Paul. Someone told me a long time ago that you may be the only Jesus that people see. Right? You may be the only people the only Jesus that people see. And so Paul was reflecting Jesus in such a great way. And so this gave him the opportunity not only to have favor, because the Bible says that Felix let his friends take care of him in prison. You know what I mean? That showed him favor. Not only that, but it gave an opportunity for Felix to be curious about why he was the way that he was. Because I'm sure Felix gets a lot of criminals sent in, and I'm sure they act crazy. I'm sure they just throw flip tables. Or maybe not flip tables. Jesus did that. He's crazy. Not a criminal. But, but they must have acted crazy. But Paul is a man of dignity. He's like, man, what is this guy? He's being falsely accused, but yet he's responding in this way. I gotta talk to this guy. I gotta talk to him, and I gotta ask him why he is the way that he is. So my question today is, though, why did Felix become afraid of what Paul was saying? Well, in verse 22, it says Felix was well acquainted with the way, right? Which means Felix knew about Christians. He knew about Christians. His wife was Jewish, and he knew about Judaism and all these things. What was new about what Paul was saying? Well, I believe that Paul was talking about a new way of life, a new way of living life, right? You see, everyone, including Felix, knew about religion. Everyone knows about religion, right? Especially with the Romans. They loved religion, right? They loved religion. But what is religion? Religion is an idea, the idea of following a set of principles and rules. That is what religion is. And so Paul was not talking about a religion. Right, Paul wasn't talking about a religion. What Paul was talking about was a way of life. He was not talking about following a set of principles. He was talking about following a person named Jesus. Right? And so I believe that Felix was scared. The reason why Felix was scared was because Paul was talking about how following Jesus is not about changing your behavior. Following Jesus is about changing your heart. And that's scary when you think about it, because there's a difference between changing your behavior and changing your heart, right? If you've been married before, or if you are married, you know that when your spouse changes their behavior, but their heart is not in it, I mean, it's very obvious, right? Anyone can change their behavior. Anybody, your kids, when their kids change behavior, you know, they'll just pretend to do something right in order to get something from you, right? I mean, you know when someone has a changed behavior versus a changed heart, right? You know that. And so there's a difference between a behavior change and a heart change. A behavior change is very surface level. It's very easy. Everyone knows how to swim in the shallow end because you don't need to swim, right? Behavior change is pretend. It's more like a fake it till you make it kind of thing. That's what religion is. That's what religion is. Nobody can follow all of the rules and principles of religions, but they can pretend to, right? You can pretend to do it. And so behavior change starts with your actions. It starts with changing the things that I'm doing, right? Again, if you've been married, if you have kids, you know that very well. But heart transformation is deep. A heart transformation is real. You cannot fake a heart transformation. You cannot fake a changed mind. You cannot fake a changed heart. Amen? And so not everyone can swim in the deep end, right? Because even if you try to stand, you can't. You can't fake it. You can't fake it. And so a heart transformation is real, and a heart transformation starts with a change in your desires. Not in your actions. It doesn't start with your actions. It starts with your heart, and then it goes into your actions. Does that make sense? Right? It starts with your heart. A change starts with your heart. And so Paul was talking about this idea of not just pretending to know religion or pretending to, to follow a set of rules. He's talking about a real life change, a real change of heart, a real change of direction in life. And that scared Paul. I mean, that scared Felix. I believe that the Holy Spirit was convicting Felix of his sin and corruption as Paul was sharing the gospel. Right? As Paul was sharing the gospel, he was convicting Felix, and he felt convicted. Right? Paul was telling him that Jesus wants to change his heart so that he can be made right with God, right? So that he can have self-control, and so that he can stand before God on judgment day. That's what he's talking about. And guess what? You can't fake these three things. You can't fake being made right with God. You can't fake having self-control. You can't fake when you stand before God in judgment. You can't fake all that. He's talking about the real deal. This must take a heart change, right? Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He's talking about religious people. He's talking about religious people. Religious people can honor God with our actions, with our lips, but their hearts are far from God. What this tells us is that religion, God is not concerned more about behavior than he is about the heart. Again, anyone can change behavior, but not everyone can change their heart. God can change our heart, though. Amen? And that's what we're looking for. That's what scared Felix. He was scared because it takes a real transformation for his heart to change. I know this religion doesn't convict you. Religion makes you feel guilty. You know the difference? You know the difference between being convicted by the Holy Spirit versus feeling guilty? Guilty is when someone makes you feel like crap, really. You know? You just feel just I don't know if I'm allowed to say that here. Is that okay? I'm from LA, you know, so it's very, very fluid out there. I don't know. So I'm just kidding. crap, is that okay? Is that all right? Whew, thank God. I was like, he'll never invite me again. You know, I don't know. I'm also from Dallas, so it's like Dallas, if you say crap, you're excommunicated from the church. You know what I mean? So it's like, whoa, crap? C word? Whoa. but the difference between conviction and guilt is that conviction leads you towards God. Guilt leads you away from God. Religion makes you feel guilty, but conviction is from a relationship with Christ. And he leads you towards Christ. And so the Roman government wasn't threatened or afraid of Judaism because, you know, it didn't do anything. It didn't do anything for society. The Romans respected rituals and they respected traditions, which Judaism reflected. So the Roman Empire was not threatened by Judaism. But they were threatened and afraid of Christianity because it was a true change in desire, it was a true change in heart. It wasn't conforming to the patterns of society. It was a disruptive to the Roman Empire because, for example, the story of Zacchaeus is a great example of a heart transformation. Jesus changed Zacchaeus' heart, right? And Zacchaeus was a tax collector, right? He was a tax collector. And what did tax collectors do? They not only collected tax from the Jews, but they took the money that they had from the Jews and they actually used it to give a portion of it to the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire would use that money to oppress, to rape, to murder marginalized group of people, to oppress groups of people, especially the Jews. And so when Jesus changed Zacchaeus' heart, and Zacchaeus said, you know what, I'm going to give all the money back, all the money that I stole back to the people, well, I want to give it back, and then some, and I want to give them four times the money that I stole back. When he said that, that disrupted the economy of Romans. And so when Christians would go out and they would bring tax collectors to the Lord, when they would bring soldiers, Roman soldiers to the Lord, it disrupted the society, it disrupted the economy, it disrupted everything. And so the Romans hated that. He said, this guy's not just... These guys are not just changing behavior, they're changing people's hearts. And it's messing with our money. And y'all know, when humans and money, it's like, if you come in between human and the money, it's game over, right? And so this is why the Romans were afraid or threatened by Christianity. Because they were changing hearts. Transformation like this disrupted the Roman Empire. So Felix was afraid of what Paul was saying because Paul was talking about playing in the game, not just watching it from the stands. You know what I mean? Like a lot of Christians, especially religious people, love to watch others play in the stand. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They love, yeah, I don't know if you guys are sports people here, right? Cowboys, go Cowboys, and Lakers. I'm a Lakers Cowboys fan. I know, what do you guys have, Modesto, like cows and stuff? Or? I'm just kidding, guys. So I just saw cows on my way here, so I just assumed. Is that y'all's, by the way? Is that, like, does Covenant own the cows here? Okay. No, y'all see the cows in there, have horses. We're like, yo, I wonder if it's like an activity after church, you know, anyways, I don't know, maybe a barbecue after, anyways, sorry. is that the men's barbecue? You guys take one of I'm totally kidding, I'm so sorry. Oh, God, you'll never invite me here again, oh, no, I'm so sorry. I can't make these jokes in LA, so I just assumed I could do it here. Everybody's vegetarian there. Okay, I need to stop. Finish this. Wrap it up. So, Felix was afraid of what Paul was saying because Paul was talking about being real, having a heart transformation. Relationship with God is like playing the game, right? God doesn't want you to just follow a set of principles. He wants you to follow Jesus. He wants your heart to change. It's not about following traditions, not about following rituals. It's about following Jesus. Amen? This is why Paul, the apostle, was willing to get tortured and to get beaten and eventually die for the gospel. Nobody does that for a set of principles. Only a heart that's transformed. Amen? So what I want to encourage you all to do today is I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to change your desire, not your behavior. Not the way that you act. I want you to say, God, I want you to change what I think. I want you to change the way I think. I want you to change the way I believe things. I want you to change the way that my heart is. I want you to change that because then your behavior will follow. Shouldn't be the other way around. So I pray that this word blessed you. And my biggest challenge and ask for you is to ask God to change your heart, not to change your behavior. And that's what Felix was scared about. And I believe that's why Felix was like, no, I'm done with this. Paul, get away from me. I want to be as convenient. I want to live as conveniently as possible. And changing my behavior does that. But changing my heart, that's inconvenient for me. So get away from me, right? And that's what we see here in Paul. So praise God for Paul and his mission. That's why we're here today, being able to freely worship God. So anyways, I hope that blessed you, and that is my time. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, guys. Have a great Sunday.